Ultimate Bank Account Monitoring, and supporting NPR's monitoring of world events. LifeLock.com, code NPR. And from Blinds.com, with the face-to-face video service that provides home decorating advice and guidance from designers. Available at Blinds.com. This is NPR.
This is Mountain Grown Public Radio for Western Colorado, KVNF 90.9 MHz, Paonia and the North Fork Valley, KVMT 89.1 MHz, Montrose, Delta, Olathe, and Norwood. Also heard via translators, K256AD in Palisade and the Grand Valley at 99.1, K252AM in Hotchkiss at 98.3, K205BA in Ridgeway and Log Hill at 88.9, K211BH in Ouray at 90.1, and K204BR in Lake City at 88.7. Thanks for choosing Mountain Grown Public Radio.
KVNF receives support from Alpine Archaeological Consultants in Montrose, celebrating 25 years in business. Alpine specializes in helping clients throughout the Rocky Mountain West implement their projects through compliance with historic preservation laws. Alpine can be reached at 970-249-6761 and on the web at alpinearchaeology.com.
Good morning. This is KVNF Regional News. I'm Patricia Naft. It's Friday, February 7th. Colorado's emergency radio communication system is used by firefighters and first responders during natural disasters, but it needs updating. A bill is moving through the State House that would study how to improve the system. Lawmakers say the bill is important in the wake of recent wildfires and floods. Benta Berklin has more from the state capitol.
Republican Senator Ellen Roberts of Durango says the current radio system doesn't have great coverage across Colorado, making it difficult for firefighters, for instance, to do their jobs.
It's somewhat horrifying to me that we have the situation we have today, and we're putting our emergency responders, firefighters, law enforcement, folks out there without the best that we could offer. We won't get 100% coverage in our state. It's filled with mountains and canyons, but we certainly can do way better.
Robert says there aren't enough radio towers, and it's still not clear how much coverage the state has. Democratic Senator Lucia Guzman of Denver questioned the need for a study.
Do we need the study before we would know how to really do this? Or do we need to just go right into it?
Fremont County Sheriff Jim Biker from Canyon City, who testified in support of the bill, says a study is an important first step.
I think we should have a good plan in place because it is so costly. I think if we move too quickly, we could end up shooting ourselves in the foot in many ways.
Senate Bill 127 would create a business plan on emergency communication needs. The report would be delivered to members of the legislature's Joint Budget Committee by the end of the year. That's when the real work will begin. Lawmakers say upgrading towers and improving communications will be expensive. I'm Benta Berklund at the State Capitol.
School dropout rates are down across much of KVNF's listening area. That's according to new data from the Colorado Department of Education. In Delta County, Montrose County, Hinsdale County, and Ouray and Ridgeway, dropout rates went down or stayed the same between the 2012 and 2013 school years. In Norwood and the West End School District, rates increased. Nearly every district in KVNF's coverage area had a lower dropout rate than the state average of 2.5%. Only Montrose County was higher with a 3.1% rate. Dropout rates are falling across Colorado. Last year's rate was the lowest since 2003. Two Colorado state legislators want to help people who were laid off by the Elk Creek mine in Somerset. Senator Gail Schwartz and Representative Millie Hamner are holding a meeting to talk about economic impacts of the mine closing and how to diversify the local economy. They're inviting representatives from the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment and other state agencies to explain what resources are available to laid-off miners. The meeting will start at 1 p.m. on Saturday at the Delta Montrose Technical College on 4th Street in Paonia. Investigators have figured out what caused the helicopter crash that killed three people near Silt last week. The Aspen Daily News reports that a preliminary investigation says the helicopter hit a static line and went down. The static line is designed to ground lightning strikes. The three men on board were checking power lines for problems. The lines are owned by Holy Cross Energy. The National Transportation Safety Board is still working on a complete investigation. That's expected to take months. Scientists in Colorado are working to improve runoff forecasting in the West so water managers can meet growing needs in the future. A growing population coupled with climate change means every drop will count. Scientists are mapping terrain and snow with lasers to provide a more accurate picture of the snowpack. It's called the NASA JPL Airborne Snow Observatory. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin spoke with Jeff Deems, a research scientist with the University of Colorado Boulder. He's involved with the project.
Why is it critical to know how much snow is in the snowpack in the West?
Snow in the Western U.S. is 75 to 80% of our water supply. Knowing how much is up there really lets us know how much is going to be available later in the season.
Water managers track runoff forecasts so they know how much to divvy out to uses like power generation and municipal water agricultural uses. How do they currently get this information, and how does the project you're working on improve those forecasts?
Currently, we rely on a network of snow stations and manual measurements in the mountains that weigh the amount of water that's at specific locations. Those locations are pretty widely spread over the mountainous West and have a pretty long record. So we're able to look at conditions that have existed in the past and compare them to the current year and issue a statistical forecast based on that. As the climate warms and as we get stranger storm patterns, we start to deviate from the conditions that existed in the past. And it's really helpful to know the extent of snow and the amount of snow throughout the river basin rather than just at certain index locations. The Airborne Snow Observatory that we spun up last year tries to do exactly that. We map snow depth throughout entire river basins from an aircraft using a laser scanner, and thereby provide basin-wide maps of the amount of snow that exists across the basin.
So you mentioned things like lasers, and you know, it sounds really fascinating. How do you gather this data, and what variables are you gathering?
It's pretty high tech, and it's definitely gee whiz. We're using a laser scanner or a LIDAR system. What that system does is it emits or shoots laser pulses at a very high rate as it scans across the landscape, and it measures the time of flight for that laser pulse to go from the instrument, hit the ground, and come back up. And from that, we can measure the range to the target, and using GPS systems can very precisely geolocate each measurement. So we end up with a very high resolution on the order of a meter spacing, a very high resolution map of surface elevation across the landscape. We do that once in the summer when there's no snow, and again in the wintertime when there is snow, and we can subtract those two elevation maps and get a map of snow depth across the landscape.
And where has this been done so far?
This past water year, 2013, we had two demonstration locations. One was the Uncompahgre River in the San Juans, and the Tuolumne River draining the north part of Yosemite National Park in the Sierra Nevada. The Tuolumne is the water supply for the city of San Francisco, so it had direct operational relevance there.
What have you heard from water managers? I mean, this could impact their bottom line.
It absolutely could. With the current operational paradigm, at some point in the season, as the snow melt proceeds up the hill, all of the measurement stations melt out. All the snow is gone. But there's still quite a bit of snow left up in the mountains. So our system actually continues to map how much snow is up there and provide real-time or near-real-time information to water, allowing them to fine-tune their operations and balance competing needs of water supply, hydropower, and ecological needs.
Jeff Deems is a research scientist at the University of Colorado Boulder. He'll give a presentation at the ACES Hallam Lake location tonight at 7 o'clock. Jeff, thanks for your time.
Great. Thanks so much.
Stay tuned for the Friday Morning Music Mix with Alan. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia.